Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I just feel like this team this year is in a different space than we were last year. I feel like last year we kind of peaked too early because I think we were like 5-6 and we just had to win every game to even make it a contest. So I think we kind of peaked maybe too early and we couldn't just sustain it. This year, I think we kind of just playing ball and we haven't peaked at all yet. We haven't played our best game, even both sides. Like, our offense has put up 40 points, but they'll tell you that that wasn't their best game. Defense, we played a few weeks ago with 0 points going into the fourth quarter and we would still say we didn't play our best game. So we just got to just put it together and find a way to all be on the same page at the same time and peak.
Rasul Douglas, the Bills and Denver Broncos, their second ever postseason meeting. First being the AFC Championship in 1991. Actually, it's January 12th, 1992, so it'll be exactly 33 years to the day from that 10-7 Bills win over Denver to advance to Super Bowl 26. Remember Leonard Smith riding around the perimeter of the field of the stadium on a tractor or something, just saluting the fans after that game. Better than during.
Yeah, you rarely see that.
Scoreless in the fourth quarter. Guys, maybe calm down and save the celebrations.
Guys taking victory laps on Gators is not encouraged when you're in a scoreless tie.
We'll get to your calls in a moment. 803-0550. Did you see that Marty Baron was looking for Rob Ray stories?
I did. I did see that. I did.
You'd have better ones than I.
Yeah.
I gave him one.
Yeah.
That you were there for.
I didn't. Oh, is this the Ranger guy?
The Ranger guy.
716.
Yeah.
At the bar.
Yeah.
That was a good one. You want to tell that now?
It was good. I don't remember it perfectly, I think.
Well, I can help.
A guy in a Ranger jersey was walking toward us on his way to the bathroom, I think. And Rob was sitting at that booth with us. And Rob said something to him.
Rob
like,
was.
Your team sucks or something like
Rob
that.
Rob was in the middle of telling us how it's a speech he's get, you know, multiple times I've heard him give. It's too nice now. Everybody's too nice.
Right, right, right.
All the players are friends and there's just not enough animosity. You got to work on that. You got to just get an edge. And as he's, I don't know exactly what he was saying, but that was the spirit of what he was saying. This dude walked by and he went, "Watch this." And he sort of cursed, or didn't curse. We were on the air. But he said something to the guy. Maybe it was before we started. Anyway, he said something to this guy. He was just kidding around. The guy was wearing a Ranger jersey. Definitely did not recognize Rob as former tough guy Rob Ray. Eventually got, you know, went to the restroom, came back, and was sitting across the room from us with a friend
at the bar,
also in a Ranger jersey. And the guy that Rob had said whatever he said to was like, he looked like he wanted to fight Rob and or us.
Yeah.
That was basically
But it. Nothing else happened.
Nothing happened. No.
Maybe he found out who Rob was.
Yeah, maybe somebody told, like, he's over there on a radio show. I think, you know, maybe he's a former player.
Was that the only time we heckled the crowd, not the opposite,
there? Yeah, right. Kevin Sylvester chimed in on Marty's tweet, because Kevin and I were, Kevin interned here at WGR when I was interning at WBEN in the summer of 94, before I got my show in the fall of 95. So we were running these sort of concurrent lives. Like, he had been at Fredonia while I was at Buff State. I'm a little older. I went to college later. But anyway, like, we knew each other from college. He loaned me some equipment one time when our stuff was broken so I could go on the road and do a Buff State football game, yada, yada. So we're both covering Buffalo Stampede roller hockey games.
Sure.
And there was a spell there. I don't remember how long. Maybe I'm not even sure if Rob could tell you how long it lasted, but he was the coach.
Yeah.
you know, very much a figurehead type position. I don't think he was really, you know, getting in on the PK and power play with the guys on the Stampede. But
that team was not a, that hockey team was not afraid to make changes.
Yeah, right. So one time, I didn't suggest this. Kevin said, like, ask Bulldog. Me and Bulldog got Stampede stories. I don't remember if Kevin was in the room with me for this or not, but it was a post game scene. The Stampede had won the game, and I'm there waiting. I knew Rob a little because he had already been doing evening shows with Howard Simon at WBEN, which is where I was interning, and by that point, maybe working part time. Anyway, I'm waiting for Rob to come out so I can ask him a few questions about the game and bring some tape back for Howard, so he's got, you know, cut up Rob Ray, Stampede coach,
wow,
in the middle of summer for sportscast, right? That's why I'm there.
Wow.
And I'm waiting for Rob. I'm the only one there. So I'm sorry, Kevin, if you were there for this and I don't remember it. I remember him walking out of like maybe the main locker room, and I'm in this other auxiliary locker room, and he's got a dress shirt on that's completely unbuttoned. Right, so he's like bare-chested in a dress shirt and dress pants. So his suit coat's gone, and he walks out of this room and looks at me like, "What do you want?" I'm like, "I'm here to do a post-game interview with you." He's like, "All right, hang on a second." He reaches into this tub of beers. Rob has not been drinking for a very long time now, but in these days he still drank. He just grabbed a blue out of this tub of beers and opened it, slammed it, like drank the whole beer, threw the can down and said, "Okay, let's go." And I did my, you know, 4-minute Rob Ray post-game roller hockey interview, and it's one of my favorite moments with Rob. Like an absolute just beautiful moment. Like we've gotten to know each other much, much, much better over the years, but I barely knew him then, but it was still pretty cool.
Could you have had one with him?
I wasn't offered, and I did not feel like, you know, the separation of church and state. Like, I was media there. I'm not here to pal around with Rob Ray.
I have to just
a serious job to do here.
Your story is great. I'll slip this one in. When I was in Rochester just starting, working at public radio, it was like one night a week, 1 hour, just me. I had to figure out the board, calls, everything. Like I was the one-man show. And I got Rob on when he was still playing. And I disconnected. I hung up on him twice. Remember, like, not knowing exactly how to do it. Like, I just, that's me, right? I just, yeah. Is it this button or that button? And
right.
Somebody had told me, you got to lock them in, you know, do this thing with the buttons.
Yeah.
And twice I disconnected him. And the third time, I think maybe I just sort of put him on. He answered again. He was up for it.
He didn't
blow me off. And the third time, like, I'm just not going to, maybe the idea might have been to take calls for him. That's why I needed to sort of lock him in on the bottom row.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
I just didn't bother.
I remember some of the mechanics of those sorts of systems.
Yeah.
I'm sure I mangled them numerous times like you just.
But that for sure would have been my first interaction with him, and I was just grateful that he
kept
answering.
I think my first interaction with him, because it's the only time I've ever thought to shake his hand. So I think it was the day I met him in the old sports office at WBEN. So imagine he was coming in doing these evening shows with Howard Simon before I had a radio show. And so Rob would come in, and the first time I think he came in, I was introduced to him by a sales guy. And I said, "Oh, hi, really nice to meet you." I reached my hand out to shake his hand, and he had his hand sort of at his side and brought it out and, like, held it and, like, looked at me like, "I'm not shaking your hand." His hand was, it looked like it had been through, like, just absolute utter hell. Like, I think, like, the knuckles were swollen out to the middle of the finger kind of thing. Like, you know, he's not in a cast or a brace or anything. He's just Rob Ray, professional face puncher. And he's like, I can't shake your hand. I'm like, "Oh, well, cool. Anyway, it's good to meet you." And like two nights later, he's out there absolutely just destroying his hand on Denny Vial's helmet. And I'm just thinking, like, you have the stupidest job that's ever happened. Because your hand is already, like, mashed to the point where you couldn't be able to hold a pencil or sign a check. And then, you know, 48 hours later, he's like wailing away at some dude's helmet. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. All these stories kind of make the same point. It's like we have a lot of respect for him.
Yes. Tons of respect for him.
Different examples.
Yeah.
Here's Brian on WGR. Go ahead, Brian.
How you doing, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm curious. We make such a big deal about Patrick Surtain, and I know that he's a good cornerback. I apologize. I haven't really followed Denver's defense over the course of the year, with the exception of having them on my fantasy football team. But I'm looking at some of the teams that they played against in Denver's schedule, and the top wide receivers that they've played against are Ja'Marr Chase, where based on Ja'Marr Chase's stats, he looks like he torched the Broncos. Same with Ladd McConkey, and same with Zay Flowers. So I'm wondering, and I don't even consider Zay Flowers and Ladd McConkey as these number one stud wide receivers that can wreck a game, but they still had amazing stats. So I'm curious as to where we get this information on Patrick Surtain, that he's this amazing shutdown corner.
Well, it wouldn't be by just picking out examples of games where maybe he was covering or maybe he wasn't great players that did well. I mean, I'm not Greg Cosell, but I think he's considered the best in the league, and there'd be some reason for that. The games I would maybe point to, if I were to make that case, would be what I thought it was kind of cool that they used him on Bowers when they played the Raiders, and Adams may or may not have been on the Raiders anymore. The first game against the Raiders, Adams missed. But when they played him one or both times, they put him on Bowers, who led the league in receptions for a tight end, and that was successful. I know London did nothing against Denver. I don't know if he shadowed London, but you know, just as your examples, you know, may or may not reflect exactly what Surtain's job was in those games.
And then
Mike Evans.
Right. It leads me back to your point. I just don't know what Denver thinks they're going to do with him. I just don't know who they think they're going to cover. Because if we're really operating under the everybody eats / everybody snacks situation.
Thank you.
Who would he follow?
Right.
Who would he blanket?
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. I don't know the answer, and I agree with that sort of analysis that in a couple of ways, including that one, it's not like a perfect matchup for Denver, right? Like they don't have someone – the Bills don't have someone obvious. That's what we're all saying here. And so maybe a team that did would be a simpler sort of math problem for the Broncos. Also, like all the man defense – sets up Allen to run wild on him if that's what ends up happening. So, yeah, I don't think it's – I mean, the Bills are not a great matchup exactly for anybody, but I think those particular facets of this make it less than perfect for Denver. He'll do something. Whoever he's covering,
right.
That player will be covered.
And he may do a really good job of it. I think it makes sense to me that it's less valuable to have the guy if there isn't – an obvious guy you want to try to take away, you know, because then what you end up, you're in like a chess match about moving the guy around and getting him away from it. If indeed he's following this player around, and maybe the Bengals did a good job of that when they faced Surtain. I don't know. I don't remember the game. But yeah, I mean, I have no doubt he's excellent. I'm sure it's based on coverage grades and, you know, successful passes and air yards against and all kinds of stuff that goes into determining. It's not just, oh, well, he looks good in the uniform, you know. I'm sure there's a lot of reason behind him being termed the best or one of the best. But I like everything about this matchup. For the Bills, it's a team that plays man. They've got an elite shutdown corner, and they get to the passer well. I think the Bills and they blitz a lot. I mean, that just reads like a perfect matchup for Josh Allen to me. You're going to try to blitz me? Okay, great. You're going to try to play man? Okay, great. you know, guys got to get open, but also the Allen running is can be triggered by that. And the Bills are excellent at protecting the passer. I mean, Allen has a lot to do with that, his mobility, but their line has been very good all year. So I doubt that the Broncos is going to show up and wreak havoc in the Bills' backfield. And I think everything they try to do on the back end is predicated on that. So if you're not winning there, then I think you could be in for a long day. And that's why I just can't see this Denver offense being able to score enough. Because I think the Bills should be able to move the ball on this team.
Thanks, Brian. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Joe Ostrowski at 4. This is WGR.